Well, we've been together in a series of five. This is the fifth in that short topical series, in which we've taken a break away from Revelation for a few weeks to consider the steps, if you will, within our salvation, looking and using Romans 8, 29, and 30 as our subtext, and looking at these different facets of what it means to be saved. Maybe, if you will, going back to the basics, thinking about our own salvation, not simply so we can gaze at that, but that ultimately we might come back and give God glory. Because at the end of it all, it's soli Deo gloria. To God alone be the glory. And so to look at our election, to look at our regeneration, to look at our faith, last week our justification, and this week our sanctification, is in the end to give God glory. We're examining the wonders of his works, the works as they affect our lives in particular. And so today we do move on to sanctification. Now in Romans 8, 29 and 30, the word sanctification is not used, but we're using this and tying it into glorification. All those he foreknew, them he also predestined, that they might be conformed to the image of his Son. And them he also called. And those he called, he justified. And we threw faith in there to consider what is faith as a gift of God. It is, in fact, a gift of God to us. So we spent a week considering faith. And it is by faith, then, that we are justified, linked to, united to Jesus Christ, so that all that is his becomes ours. And all that is ours is taken by him. That's the wonders of this covenantal union, like a marriage. And so faith is what joins us to him. And that faith brings about our justification. The righteousness that Christ has is given to us. And all those he justified, he also glorified. And so glorification, while it speaks to the end of the process of sanctification, where we are conformed fully to the image of Christ and made holy, we're considering that process that extends throughout our life by the work of God and his grace toward us. So our text this morning, though in these sermons we've really been hopping through text, we've been using maybe all the text throughout the service, generally our Old Testament reading and even our reading of the law and our text, our New Testament readings for these, they have been more topical indeed. But our text, if we're going to have one, is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. A very familiar text to many of us. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. A very familiar verse when it comes to our sanctification. Because it says two very important things about what's happening in the Christian life. Because that's what sanctification is. It is the extension of the Christian life. So let's think about that. And I want to just consider four points this morning, drawing on these texts and even some others. First, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the process by which God makes us holy. It's the process by which God makes us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Let me give it to you this morning from our catechism. Good to come back there. It probably can't be stated better than in our own catechism. This is question 35. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. That's sanctification. The process and act of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man. We considered, in speaking of regeneration, we considered our nature, why, in fact, we need to be born again, why Jesus uses that kind of language. Why do we need to be born again? And the answer is because we have died. We have died spiritually. And in that discussion of our spiritual death, if you remember, we were considering Romans chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 3, in that extension, that extensive bit there where Paul talks about our depravity in Romans 3:10 and following, Remember, he speaks about all these different body parts, right, that are infected by sin. With our lips we do this, and with our tongues we do this, and with our hands we do this, and with our feet we do that. Because sin has penetrated to every bit of our being, heart, mind, soul, body, will, every bit of it. And as we come through that act of God's grace by which we are born again and made new men and women, given hearts of flesh now, as opposed to the hearts of stone which we had in Adam. Now by faith, we mentioned that's our first gasp of air. As a newborn child of God, the first gasp, the first cry that we make as babies in the faith is faith. It's we lunge after Christ, we hold on to him. Faith is that first act of a born-again man or woman. And then as a gift, we are justified. That faith brings to us all that is Christ's. And now the Christian life is an extension, a working out of that faith. Faith is not static, it's dynamic. It works, it believes, it trusts, it risks. That's what we talked about when we considered faith. And that extension of faith throughout time, that gift of God, is our sanctification. And in this sanctification, our whole man is being renewed. Our whole being, just as sin permeated every part of our being, so God, by the power of the Spirit, is going and renewing us in every part and every aspect of our being. So our sanctification, which ends in glorification, is the process by which God makes us holy. Let's consider a few things about this sanctification then. First, using our subtext, Romans 8, 29 and 30. Sanctification is the goal of our salvation. It is what God has in mind when he predestined you. It's what God intends for you when he regenerated you and gave you the gift of faith. God saved you that you might be holy and blameless in him. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. Right, we were predestined, chosen by God to be holy and blameless. Or again, using our subtext, all those he foreknew, them he also predestined that, there's the purpose statement, that they might be conformed to the image of his son. This is important for us to understand about our Christian lives. When God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, he did not just let them go free. He did not call them out of Egypt, split open, pile up the waters in a heap, as the psalmist says, and then said, go, run, you're free. No, he brought them to a mountain. He brought them to Sinai. He brought them out that they might worship him. And he had a purpose for them. He was moving them to plant them in a holy land that they might be his holy and righteous people. That they might be a kingdom of priests to their God. And this is true for you. The purpose of our salvation is not just that we avoid hell. It's not just so that we can go to heaven when we die. God saved you, predestined you, regenerated you, gave you the gift of faith, and justified you for a purpose. And that purpose is that you might bear his image and bear it rightly. That you might be conformed to the image of his son, who is the image of the invisible God. God chose you to reflect him. God chose you to be the bearer of his love. He chose to save you so that he might pour his love out upon you. And that love, as it's poured out upon us, changes us and conforms us to the image of his son. Consider Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, a passage that we're very familiar with, and we considered when speaking of faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Remember, we spent some time on that. Faith itself is a gift of God. You've been saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This whole process is a free gift to you so that God receives all the glory. But then verse 10 is the one that never makes the card. Verse 10 is the one that never makes the refrigerator magnet. Right? There's more to that verse. It continues. For, here's why this is important. For we are his workmanship. God is the craftsman, and you're the block of wood. Right? God is the great wood carver, and he's carving out of this block of wood something amazing, something beautiful. In fact, we know what it is. It's the image of Christ. And God is taking you. He's the great craftsman, and you are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what all this is, what it is about. By grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For you were created for good works. You're his workmanship. It's what he's wanting to produce in you. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Even our good works are something God prepared for us, and we walk in them. But that is God, what God saved you for. God took you as a block of wood, and he's doing something with it. He's producing in it an image of Jesus Christ. Do we think about that when we wake up in the morning? Do we wake up in the morning believing that we have a purpose today? And that the purpose God has for us is to reflect the image of Jesus Christ, to be holy in good works for him. Paul says it this way in 1 Thessalonians 4. This is the will of God for you. It doesn't get any more clear than this. This is the will of God for you. Your sanctification. Your becoming holy. This is God's will for you. This should be on our mind every morning as we wake up and set our minds upon it. Whatever the Lord has called us to do, Colossians chapter 3, do with all your might as unto the Lord. We all have different callings, and yet we all have the same calling. The calling for you and for me is to be sanctified unto the Lord. So first, sanctification is the goal of our salvation. Secondly, our sanctification is the work of God. Our sanctification is the work of God. Considering again what sanctification is according to our catechism, sanctification is the work of God's free grace. And this is important so that we don't wake up every morning and fret. We wake up every morning and realize that the task I've been given is God's work in me. It's a work of his free grace. Sanctification is a gift to you, that you get to pursue holiness for the sake of Christ is a gift to you. And so in our text, Philippians chapter 2, for it is God, verse 13, who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Sanctification is something that the Holy Spirit is at work within you to do. Sometimes we think, it's easy for Christians to think that, yes, I'm justified by a free act of grace, but now sanctification depends upon me. God did his part, now I have to do my part. But that's not a Reformed way of thinking. Reformed way of understanding it is given to us in our own confession. And the biblical way of understanding it is given to us in our text. That what we do is work out what God has already worked in us. God, by his Spirit, is doing something within our hearts. He's renewing us day unto day and enabling us more and more, according to our catechism, to put to death the old man and to put on the new. Day unto day, sanctification is the work of God. In the New Testament text read today, as Ivars gave it to us from Philippians chapter 1, Paul speaks with great confidence to the Philippians. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. That God has not saved us and said, good, now you make it happen. God has not left us on our own. But God, like he does with Israel, coming out of Egypt, leads them all the way through, provides for them all the way through, strengthens them all the way through. And so our sanctification is the work of God within our hearts, enabling us to say no to sin, strengthening us to say no to temptation. But in the end, soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. So first, sanctification is the goal of our salvation. It's what God's doing and making out of you as a block of wood. Secondly, it is the work of God's free grace within us. But thirdly, sanctification is hard work. Right? Sanctification is the work of God within us. It is God in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. Right? We are his workmanship, created for good works that he has prepared beforehand for us that we might walk in them. Yes, God has prepared this way for us. God, by his Spirit, is at work within us, and yet we are called to work out what he has worked in. God is doing something within our hearts, but that does not simply mean that we are to, quote, let go and let God. That we can somehow drop our spiritual life and our spiritual will into neutral and expect God to simply drive us to the promised land. No, that's not what it looks like. In fact, Paul speaks very strongly. Work out, he says, your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out, not work for. He doesn't say work for your salvation. Hopefully you can achieve it. Hopefully you can earn it. No, not at all. But work nonetheless. Work out what God is doing in your heart. You are to take this new heart that is a gift to you. You are to take the faith that is a gift to you and put it into practice. You are to apply what God has given to you. You are to steward what God has given to you. Number of parables in which a gift is given and we are to do something with it. It's not yours, it's a gift. Faith is a gift. But you are to steward that gift and to work out what he has worked in. And the great model for the Christian work of sanctification is Israel. That's why I chose Psalm 78. Just it gives us an overview of the story of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. And it's not pretty, frankly. Right? It's a great struggle, in fact. And we know when we read the story of Exodus, it's a struggle. But that is the Christian life. Delivered from slavery to sin, we are taken through that deliverance through the Red Sea and brought out into the wilderness, and we're moving. And we're moving toward the promised land. But what is that wilderness period? It's a time of struggle. It's a time of self-denial. It's a time of need. Right? It's a time of testing. God brings them out into the wilderness and they have no food. They have no water. And what do? Rely upon the Lord? Cry out to the Lord? No, they grumble against the Lord. But the Lord brings us into this struggle. The Lord brings us into the wilderness on the way to the promised land to do something in us. That period, that time of the wilderness, is the time of the wood carving. That's God, the great craftsman now, chipping off pieces of wood and sanding pieces of wood to create in us and to bring out of that chunk of wood the image of Jesus Christ. And to do that, he brings us through trials. To do that, he brings us into and out of affliction. And we've been there. We've had times, let's face it, we've grumbled against the Lord. And yet the Lord is kind and merciful. Even in Psalm 78, you hear that enduring mercy. Yes, judgment. Yes, his wrath in a disciplining way turns upon Israel many times throughout that story. But then again, he feeds them. Then again, he leads them. Then again, he defeats their enemies for them. But all the while shaping them, all the while disciplining them. And this is what your Christian life is. And what my Christian, when it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that's what it means. We make our way through the wilderness, enduring all sorts of trials. Enemies on our right hand and on our left. Times of deprivation we don't have and we need. And what are we to do? All we can do is fall before the Lord God. He is the one who lets us eat the food of angels. He's the one who is able to and does in fact bring water out of rocks. We just get used to seeing it. And we forget to give him glory. And then we go through affliction and we remember. It's when we're back in times of need that we remember that it's God alone who provides for us. And so this time, of sanctification is a time of struggle, a time of discipline from our Father. And so sanctification doesn't always feel good, right? Sanctification is something that's done with fear and trembling. But as we sang in that psalm, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. And sanctification is a time of shaping us into those kind of people. Sanctification is a period of spiritual warfare, external and internal. I have to face Amalekites on the one hand, and I have to face my own sinfulness on the other hand. And that is our Christian life. We got to go to war against sin, and I got to go to war against the world in a spiritual way, and against Satan, and against temptation. Sanctification is a life of repentance. And for us, we know, if you've ever repented, and I hope that you have, then you know repentance is not easy. Repentance hurts, right? But repentance renews. For it's in that brokenness, when I'm forced to come to grips with my sin, as Israel was time and time and time again throughout that wilderness wandering, that when I am broken and forced to come to grips with my sin and have to do the painful work, if you will, of repentance, that there's renewal. That we see and experience God's grace in ways that we had not known, perhaps, before. This is sanctification. It's hard work. It's roll your sleeves up and get to work time within the Christian life. But all the time, remembering that it is not simply roll my sleeves up and grit my teeth and rely upon my own power, but that it is, in fact, God in me, willing, working, and doing according to his good pleasure. So it is both the work of God, and at the same time, it is the hard work that we are called to do by his Spirit, working out, not working for, our salvation. And then finally, sanctification is a process. Work out your salvation. That is, continually work out. Work it out today, and work it out tomorrow, and Lord willing, work it out next week and next year. It is a continual process, this work of sanctification. It does not happen overnight. God is a great craftsman, and you're his workmanship. And God has a long-term vision for you. And we wish we could just do it, get me through one hard affliction and get me out the other side, but it doesn't look that way. The Christian life, the work of sanctification, is generally a long process. And this long process is not a steady climb to glory. But as C.S. Lewis said, and we referred to it a couple times from his Screwtape Letters, as C.S. Lewis said, the Christian life is one of undulation. That's how he describes it. It's one of undulation. It's one of rises and falls, ebbs and flows. And in his Screwtape Letters, Screwtape says to Wormwood, do not let the patient understand the law of undulation. Because if you can keep, Screwtape says, him from understanding the law of undulation, then what he'll begin to think is that when he first became a Christian, that passion and zeal that he or she had should be the way it just always is. You can expect it to always remain on that mountaintop high of passion and zeal, so that the minute it first begins to wane and begins to flow and begins to come down the other side, he'll think he's losing his faith. And let him think when he reaches the bottom of the trough that this is the way it forever will be. You're lost. You're done. But Lewis is teaching us something in that. Understand sanctification. Sanctification is not a consistent high. Sanctification is not even just a continual climb to glory and to holiness. Sanctification undulates. It's a long, hard process that's meant to break us and meant to build us back up again. And to break us and to build us back up again so that we continually rely upon him and his strength and his grace. So that we continually distrust ourselves and lean upon him all the more. And we should know that. It's healthy to know that. Because if you're on a high in your Christian life right now, praise the Lord. May it remain that way. But the minute it begins to wane, let us understand that the Lord is doing something else in your life now. And let us trust him. And if we're in a trough, If we're down there right now in the struggle of our Christian life, where the passion and the zeal doesn't happen to be there, and getting into God's word is not something I'm just inclined to do in the moment, and my prayer life stinks and my mind's wandering, then let us understand that it's in those low moments that we're to cry out to the Lord. And this is part of the Christian life. Read the Psalms and understand that as we go through those dark times, as we go through those struggles, that it is nonetheless our call to work out our salvation, even there, with fear and trembling, knowing that He is at work within us, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Read Psalm 78 and look at the undulation that's going on there. Sanctification is a process, but here's the good news. The process ends in glory. The process ends in conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Sanctification may not just be a nice, easy glide path to glory. It may undulate, but it's moving toward glory. And in the end, Romans 8, 29, and 30, all those He justified, them He also glorified. He who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's His will for you that you be sanctified, and He will accomplish it. So even in the troughs, let us know, Lord, do what You're doing within me. And in those highs, let us rejoice in the moment, knowing that we are moving by His grace and by the power of His Spirit, we are moving to that end, that act of glorification, where by His grace, we are fully free from sin and fully conformed to the image of His Son. In the end, our salvation and a study of it is intended to do one thing: drop us to our knees so that we give Him all praise and glory. Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory for our predestination, for our regeneration, for our faith, for our justification, for our sanctification, even to the point, finally, of our glorification. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace, that grace which was ours in Christ from before the foundation of the world, and that grace that will see us home all the way into glory. Be with us, we pray, by Your Spirit through this long, hard work of sanctification, and through it all, Father, we are excited about what You are doing in and through us. For we are Your workmanship, Father. And You are carving out of us the image that You desire, the image of Your Son. Be pleased to continue that work within us. Cause us not to lean upon our own strength, but only upon the power of Your Spirit. And Father, we long for the day when we are made fully righteous and holy unto You. Oh, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.